This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Class of COVID-19. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Open up or not? That's the question schools are dealing with right now, and families are freaking out about. In-person instruction has lots of parents worried about the risk of infection. Online instruction means massive headaches in terms of childcare. The U.S. education system isn't really one system. It's more like a network of little kingdoms with their own leaders and customs and mascots. There are over 13,000 public school districts in this country and more than 33,000 private schools. And they're all trying to do the right thing for their students and employees. Avi Wolfman-Aaron takes us to three cities in the Philadelphia area and tells us how school leaders there are trying to tackle this enormous challenge.
The school hallway looks like it's been frozen in time.
So welcome to a school building with no children.
I'm at Camden Prep, a charter school in New Jersey, and administrator Natalie Cooper is pointing to walls lined with A-plus quizzes and papers.
Through the hallways, you can see the kids and the work back from March. We literally have not been back in the school building.
In mid-March, American education came to a dramatic, screeching halt. Schools across the country shifted as fast as they could to online learning. It was one of the hardest things many educators have ever done in their careers, until now.
I'd say the biggest hurdle to overcome has been the uncertainty, sort of back and forth about we're coming back, we're not coming back, we're coming back, we're not coming back.
We're coming back, we're not coming back. That decision hangs over every school leader in America, from those that run 100,000 student school districts to those that run small private schools. Catherine Savage is one of the latter.
Yes, we rent space here in the church, so actually, why don't we walk into the sanctuary?
Catherine is in charge of a small private school in the heart of Philadelphia. The sanctuary usually serves as a gathering space for morning meetings, celebrations, concerts. It has soaring ceilings and a massive arch-shaped organ built into the wall behind the altar.
And this has been the place for many happy school-wide student assemblies, which unfortunately, we will not be able to have this year.
Catherine says online or distance learning in the spring had been tough for just about all of her roughly 100 students.
What we notice is after about a month of distance learning, only the really strong survive. And even those strong are really miserable.
She says kids, teachers, and parents all wanted to return to in-classroom instruction. But every time she started to think about how they would make it happen, she got hung up on all the things they wouldn't be able to do.
For me, especially as, you know, the leader of the school, you have a vision for what you're trying to give to the students and what you want to do with the students. And so when that's interrupted, I met that interruption initially with just a lot of frustration.
It wasn't until late June that the frustration turned into resolve. Opening school was a puzzle. And she was going to solve it.
And once I shifted my mentality, then the puzzle seemed less burdensome.
Catherine's school, Philadelphia Classical, will be open 5 days a week for all students. Kids will move through the school in small, isolated cohorts to cut down on the likelihood of widespread outbreaks. And every bit of space has been utilized to create more room. The sanctuary will now be a big classroom for the older kids. And there's an emphasis on ventilation. Open doors, open windows, spread out.
I'm going to send out an email to all our older students saying, bring a picnic blanket and put it on top of the lockers and be ready to take that under your arm during your lunch break and eat outside.
The fact that Catherine can make a casual suggestion like that in an email brings us to an important point. Philadelphia Classical School is small.
We do have that luxury that we have a smaller community and we have a lot of parent buy-in.
Across the river from Philadelphia at Camden Prep in New Jersey, Natalie Cooper has a slightly larger task. Camden Prep is part of Uncommon Schools, a charter school network that has two campuses in the city and about 800 students.
So we spent basically the past few weeks gearing up and getting ready for what this is all going to look like.
The plan right now is for students to come to school in shifts so that basically you have half the kids in school on a given day. The extra space allows for more distancing.
Come on down, I'll show you what a 15-kid classroom will look like.
In this model kindergarten classroom, all the desks face forward and are spread out to reduce the possibility of kids breathing on each other. A liquid disinfectant coats the floor.
So they did this room this morning, cleaned it as if it were, you know, as if kids would be coming in a few hours.
There are so many things to consider in a return to school plan. Take something as simple as dismissal. Instead of doing it all in 15 minutes, like in normal times, Uncommon Schools will dismiss kids in shifts over the course of an hour to help spread people out.
It's going to take much longer.
And that's one part of one plan. Natalie's team actually has three plans. One for all virtual, one for all in-person, and one for the in-between that they're doing right now. The goal is to be able to switch among these modes seamlessly.
So that's what I think our new mentality is about all this. It's about being nimble. It's about being adaptable.
School leaders are trying to solve a problem that keeps changing. In normal times, it takes years for scientific thought to migrate into real-life practice. Now we're asking educators to make real-time sense of a disease that scientists are themselves just learning about. That means long Zoom meetings and endless email chains.
It probably starts about 6 in the morning and stops at 12 each night, midnight. We're asking each other questions. We're reading. We found something. We share it.
Robin Ruiz runs Hope Community Charter School, also in Camden, New Jersey. She has a tight-knit team of 25 staffers, and that helps them stay flexible. But the hamster wheel of new information can be tiring.
You create your plan. The temperature guidelines change. So you change the temperature guidelines. The mask guidelines change. So you're always changing something.
Robin says she takes most of her cues from government health authorities, local and national. But there can be contradictions in the guidance, says Annette Anderson, a professor at Johns Hopkins University who's been tracking school reopening plans around the country. She gives the example of plexiglass dividers. Many schools, like Robin's, are considering using them to form little cocoons around students' desks.
Then if you do purchase them, how wide should they be? Should they be a quarter of an inch thick? Should it be half an inch? And the guidance is all over the place.
With all of these moving parts, Annette says many large school districts are opting to start the year online. Remember Catherine Savage at that small private school sending an email about outdoor lunch? Annette plays out a similar scenario, but in a large school district with lots of kids and buildings and staff and work rules.
You know, for example, when you talk about having kids eat their lunch in the classroom, well, that sounds like a great idea to parents. But then you have to figure out who would supervise those kids. And then you've got to figure out how will you get the lunches to the classrooms. And so once you get to the third layer of some of these conversations, it kind of falls apart a little bit.
Christopher Dormer runs the public school system in Norristown, a small city just northwest of Philadelphia. His district has almost 8,000 students.
Back in March and April, we thought the hardest thing we were going to have to do was close schools. I can tell you now, in going through this reopening process, closing schools looks like a walk in the park to all the challenges we're facing.
At one point, he and his team were looking at 16 different sets of guidance from different government entities and health organizations. Christopher usually gets about 6 hours of sleep a night. Not this summer.
There was a good couple week period where if I was getting 3, I was lucky. You know, I mean, literally up till, you know, 2:30, 3 in the morning, you know, just agonizing over decisions.
At the end of July, he called it. For the first semester, his district would be 100% virtual. When he looked at all the evidence, he felt it was just too messy and contradictory to trust.
You know, I'm not willing to risk anyone's life on the what ifs.
Christopher felt like a district his size had the muscle to really make online learning work if everyone was rowing in the same direction. But the idea of going back and forth between in-person and online made him uneasy.
Mentally and physically being able to flip that switch is not a seamless process.
School leaders are used to making tough calls.
You wear two skins, Kevlar and Teflon. You got to be bulletproof when people come at you, and you got to let things, you know, so much is thrown at you, you got to let it slide.
But this felt different. The logistics were dizzying. The science kept changing. And there was always that thought looming over everything. What if someone gets really sick or dies?
It's not something I can think about right now. I can't get down that road.
That's Robin Ruiz again from Camden, New Jersey. She's trying to suppress those worst-case thoughts and focus on all the little details that will make her school as safe as possible this fall.
As stressful as it is, there's a level of commitment in this building that I can't describe. Teachers go above and beyond. Staff members go above and beyond. And it humbles me to see a group of people work so hard.
It's been a summer of choked back tears and lost sleep. Now, America's schools are opening again in all their various forms. There is science behind the decisions, but humans who've had to make them. For The Pulse, I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.